You don't need to scheme and plot too hard to make better snack choices when you're getting NatureBox sent right to your door. Save 50% on your first great tasting and better for you NatureBox order with our link, naturebox.com/RHAP. That's 50% off your first order with our link, naturebox.com/RHAP. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here to talk about why the latest player lost the game. And it's a good question this week after the Mikayla blindside to get into with David Bloomberg about why Mikayla lost. David, are you there? David Bloomberg. David,
the Cubs
are
the world champs today.
Yes, yes. David Bloomberg driving the bandwagon, taking the Cubs from lovable losers to America's least favorite team.
No. The new shirts say lovable winners.
No, it's a short ride. It's a short ride. Everybody is happy for you right now, but you're squandering the goodwill.
I got to enjoy it while I can. It might, you know, be another 100 years before it happens.
It might. Congratulations. Really tense, down to the wire. Condolences to our Indians fans that are out there. But must be nice, David.
Yeah, it is. It is. I've only waited my whole life and then some. You know, my father has waited his whole life. So, definitely... condolences to the Indians fan. They put hell of a fight.
Careful there.
Yeah, they put up a hell of a fight, and it was quite a stressful Wednesday. I was watching Survivor, watching the Cubs, live tweeting both at the same time. And, I hated seeing Mikayla go, but I was busy having multiple heart attacks while watching the World Series game.
All right. Well, we'll see if perhaps where Theo's next stop is going to be. That might be the thing to watch. All right, David, let's get into this before too many of the non-sports fans start to get annoyed. Let's talk about Mikayla. And this is really, I think, one of the more interesting weeks that we've had this conversation about why a player lost according to the rules that you wrote some time ago.
So, yeah, and it was a big surprise for many reasons. As you no doubt noticed, I personally fell hard from having predicted everything correctly the previous week to predicting nothing correctly this week. So David was not right.
No, not this week. Not this week. I don't have a David wrong clip yet, yeah. But maybe
David, you're wrong.
Right. Maybe that's coming in this post-merge.
But, you know, like you indicated, I wasn't alone. Pretty much nobody predicted that Mikayla would be leaving. And, you know, there have been a lot of theories, a lot of people talking about why it was. And I do want to talk about one thing that's been discussed, and not just for Mikayla's, but a number of different boots. And it's this idea that a lot of these things happen because everyone wants to make big moves, which we keep hearing from people like Steven.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I hate to disagree with a know-it-all, but I have to say that's just not always the answer. You can't always say that. And obviously, we'll get more into this in a bit, but I don't think Jay felt he needed to make a big move, just a move when he had the chance. I think we have to remember, if you wait too long to make a big move, you end up going to the final three with someone you can't beat. Not that we've ever seen that happen on Survivor. And if you make a move too soon, people look back and talk about how wrong it was. But when the players are in that moment, it's got to be incredibly hard to know just when to make the move. There's no calendar that says, make your big move now.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to anticipate when someone else might try to make a big move against you, and you have to do it first.
Right.
You know, for this vote in particular, we obviously won't know for a while if it was too soon or just right. And if it turns out to be too soon, I'm sure we'll discuss that when Jay is voted out. But for right now, obviously, we're talking about Mikayla.
that the big moves thing, I think, is sort of a double-edged sword, because I think that part of it is feeding into the idea that, okay, this is what production wants, and that the contestants, you could say that either they're A, trying to make big moves because that's sort of like just that idea has been beaten into them by the fandom before the game started, which I don't think that was really the case with Jay. You could argue that that is really you're sort of pandering to production, that they want big moves. But I can't imagine a scenario where they would want one of their most entertaining contestants to go out in that spot. Or then it's just sort of a way to explain everything that happens on the show. I think that's a good point that you bring up, that it's too easy as a catch-all to explain everything that happens on the show.
Right. And so, you know, besides which, if that did explain everything, then I wouldn't be here talking to you.
Okay.
So, you know, now when she was voted out, Michaela didn't say, big move. She blamed Jay's paranoia. But yeah, is that, you know, really what it was? Because after all, they say just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't out to get you. So was he paranoid, or was he legitimately afraid, or was there something else entirely? Let's figure out why Michaela lost.
All right, David. So rule number one off the bat is scheme and plot. Michaela was doing the scheming and the plotting, correct?
Yeah, she was doing some. You know, she clearly understood the need to scheme and plot, even when she liked everyone in her tribe, as she did, you know, in this swap tribe. And we know that because of her explanation about the millennials on her tribe being the final four, when she sat there and used the shells to, you know, talk about them. But it didn't start then. She had said in interviews that she was an outcast in the beginning, but Jay and Michelle started talking to her on that second or third day. So I guess in the beginning, she literally means in the very beginning. And because of that, she promised to have their backs. Therefore, an alliance was born. This explains Michaela joining them to vote out Mari in the first Millennials Tribal Council. And it also shows that Michaela knew enough to get into an alliance when she had the opportunity, though the way she talks about the two of them, Jay and Michelle, coming to her does make me wonder a bit how much effort Michaela herself was putting into it, you know, seeking them out. Now, fast forward to the most recent episode, and Michaela was indeed taking on a much more active role in explaining how the strategy should work. Problem was, she left out a number of variables in her planning. Okay, her plan going forward was obviously herself, Jay, Will, and Hannah sticking together. But as she looked back after being voted out, she realized that that would have meant the others letting go of their previous allies. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, talking long after this has happened, she realizes that the plan was doomed when it started. Plus, nobody would want to take her to the final four because she could beast the challenge. So as she was thinking they could take it to the final four, Jay was probably thinking he couldn't beat her if they did. Mm-hmm. Another problem that should have occurred to her at the time, but at least didn't make it far enough into her planning, was something else she said in an interview. She recognizes that Jay didn't intend for her to know about the idol, which meant to her that they weren't truly a close alliance. But by including Jay and Will in her planning, she was still thinking of them as allies. So her scheming and plotting did not take into account some significant factors. And then there was another problem. In one of her interviews, she said she loves the fact that she told zero lies. Even though she knew Michelle had lied to her, though I'm not entirely sure what Michelle lied about, but that's what
Michaela was it the was dragons?
It, well, yes, but I don't know that, you know, that Michaela was there for the dragons, the dragon tail. Even though she knew Michelle had lied to her about something, she was still not willing to write her name down because she said she wouldn't. So she was apparently going to find a loophole and devise a plan to send Michelle home without Michaela actually writing down her name. She also said she stayed true to herself, and if she had played someone else's game by lying and acting deceitful, she'd be really embarrassed. Now, you and I have discussed this before, you know, perhaps on multiple occasions. Staying true to yourself is not the best thing to do if you want to win Survivor. You might be embarrassed by having to lie, But I got to think it's better than being embarrassed because you didn't see the blind side coming.
It's interesting that I feel like we're getting on Mikaela for her scheming and plotting being incorrect. But isn't the exercise here, David, just for rule number one, did she scheme and plot? Don't we say, yes, she did scheme and plot, and that should be enough to at least satisfy this requirement?
I'd say she, you know, gets maybe a C. She did scheme and plot, but she was certainly no expert at it. And
not to nitpick your rules.
Yes, yes. And proclaiming, you know, that you're strategizing, but then refusing to tell a lie, that's going to hurt you in this area.
See, I would say, and I don't know if you have anything left on rule number one, but I feel like that she did scheme and plot enough for me. But the question then becomes, did she scheme and plot too much now, David, in rule number two?
Well, and a lot of people have suggested that she was playing too far in advance, which I take to mean she was scheming and plotting too much too soon.
Yeah.
My first inclination was that this was not the case. She was just explaining to the other millennials on her tribe how they were going to stick together, which would be a good reason to vote out a Gen Xer this time. But in her interview with you,
yes,
Mikaela herself said she revealed too much. And in her CBS interview, she said that she should not have given away the whole plan about getting to the end. So the more I thought about it, the more I came to agree. It's one thing to say we're a solid four, but it's another thing to say the others basically have to ignore all of their other allies, which is essentially what her plan would have had them do. You know, she told you that the final four plan she discussed with them was clearly not Jay's plan, and she should have known that Jay would want to get back together with Taylor and Michelle. She became too focused on her own strategy rather than taking into account the fact that the others involved might have their own ideas. And then there was another problem with this rule. Also in her interview with you, Mikaela said she basically pulled a Varner and was giving information to Adam during the previous immunity challenge, telling him to vote out Figgy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's perfectly fine. I think that's great. The bad part is that she told everyone on her tribe that she had done that, including Jay. So she also not only played the role of Varner, but she played the role of Tasha, calling out herself as a rat. That is definitely failing to keep her scheming secret.
No, I agree completely on the scheming and plotting too much. Just the idea of that you could dictate how the other tribe should go to the point where she wasn't just sending a secret message to Adam of, hey, it's okay to vote out Figgy, but to the point that she was giving advice to Zeke and Michelle as they were working on their puzzle. I think that's too much. I don't think you want to be seen as that much of a person trying to control things, especially in the pre-merge game. I don't know if there's a good way to rebound from that. And I wonder if, even if she had gotten to the merge, if that kind of thing between her performance and the challenge, which I'm sure we will speak to in a bit, but just the idea of being seen as, oh, okay, that's the ringleader of the millennials, even if it might not actually be, in fact, the case in such a clear way, I think that that's a bad look to put out there.
It is. And then combine that with the fact that she basically made some contradictory statements out in front of everyone when she was giving advice on the challenge. Afterwards, she said, well, there's three of you. You ought to be able to handle yourselves. And then after Figgy was voted out, she was like, "Rip, her time to go. Too bad. Ha ha." She said she's always being honest, but then she was celebrating when something that, you know, happened that went against what she had said previously.
I think that Mikaela could have been in a good position, but I did think that she probably got too aggressive with trying to do, like, where after Mari went out of the game, I think that she did start to feel like she was in a position of power. Go back to when Adam was like trying to convince her about what to do. And she sort of was just like letting him dangle out there. And then even when she got to her new tribe at Ikabula, I do feel like that she started to really feel her position in the game and may have been overplaying that hand.
Yeah, it is funny that, you know, Adam was explaining to her what to do. And then she goes to, you know, Ikabula and explains to them what to do using, you know, shells and everything. So I don't know, maybe she was learning from Adam how to explain to people.
All right. Well, rule number three is to be flexible. I think that there is also going to be some fodder here that we've touched on already with a couple of things. So, David, what about being flexible?
Yeah, I feel like you just said, like the discussion we just had shows Michaela wasn't really thinking about flexibility. She didn't consider that calling the Ikabula group of millennials as the final four might give pause to people who had allies on the other tribes. By being as honest as she really wasn't allowing herself the flexibility to choose a different path later down the road if circumstances changed, which of course they always do on Survivor. I mean, I guess she would have had the opportunity to, you know, find a little loophole, like she was saying, you know, post game she was going to do with Michelle, but that's very minor in terms of true flexibility. And then her own personality showed that she wasn't particularly flexible in game situations either. To at least some extent, she said what she was thinking and what she meant. And we saw that early in her dealings with Figgy, and then later when she both helped cause Figgy's tribe to lose and essentially celebrated the vote against Figgy when she found out about it. So all of those things combined, like you had suggested, flexibility was not one of her strong points in this game.
Especially the idea of that we're the final four doesn't really speak to, okay, what's the possibility if we bring Taylor back? Well, you know, what's the possibility if we bring this in or if we want to work with whatever? I don't want to come down too hard on Michaela, but I don't think that her plan is, at least from what she told us basically like that would have been the final four. Once she said that was the final four, like she would have kept her word with that, which is definitely a virtue, I think, amongst people. But I think I would like to hear, as a person who analyzes Survivor, a bit more of, yeah, that's what I told them, but I don't know necessarily if that's what I was going to do.
Right. Just don't think that that was in her nature on Survivor or in real life. You know, she's honest and she tells it like it is. And so when she tells you you're the final four, she's not going back on it.
Rule number four, David, is don't let your emotions control you. Were there any points this season where Michaela let her emotions be revealed?
Well, there's a difference between be revealed and control you. So, you know, your tone suggests to me that you might think this was also not one of her strong points.
Well, you know, that's a good counterpoint. While she was emotional, you know, you saw her have a moment or two when she told Jeff Probst,
"You didn't do this right, Jeff."
And in front of everybody, and talks about how happy she was to see Figgy go home.
Bye, Felicia.
You know, there was also the moment back at the Mari Tribal Council where she had no love for Figgy.
This girl is dumb.
But she voted with Figgy to keep her in the game because she felt like that she could potentially be next. So I think Michaela is a complicated Survivor player.
Yes, yes. That will surprise exactly no one, probably, that she's complicated. But yeah, you picked out the exact right example that I was going to use, which was when we were all scratching our heads and surprised when she joined the Triforce to vote out Mari instead of Figgy. Even back then, she had a web confessional that said, "If you lie to me and I find a use for you, I'll keep you around. I'm not playing this game with emotion." So there it was. She knew, you know, and we knew she didn't like Figgy. But there was a reason to keep her around. That reason was strategy. She had allies, most likely Michelle and Jay. And so she was willing to put aside her emotions and vote with Figgy instead of against Figgy. Then you look at some of the other things that she did, like telling Adam to vote out Figgy. I think that was a good game move because it breaks a tie that Jay had outside of the Ikabula tribe. So I think that quote that I just mentioned tells us quite a lot about Michaela and this rule. Is she an emotional person who wears those emotions on her sleeves? Yes, clearly. But was she allowing those emotions to control her game? I would say no.
Rule number five, David, is pretend to be nice, play the social game, keep your politics and controversial beliefs to yourself. What a week for rule number five to come up, David. In terms of Michaela pretending to be nice and playing the social game, I mean, really outside of Figgy, I think that was the one time that we saw her really go off on somebody.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember which podcast you had said this on this week, but you had suggested that maybe Michaela didn't make people feel at ease. But right. Like you just said now, I would argue that she mostly did. And even Jay, who just voted her out here, before doing so, had a lot of quotes about how much he trusted Michaela. He didn't decide to turn on her because she made him feel uneasy in the social game aspect. He had to overcome those feelings of liking her in order to vote her out. It goes along with something Michaela said in a web confessional from episode 6, which was that she thought being an open, honest, straightforward person would make people trust her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did. But even so, Michaela herself knew it was an uphill battle for her. She said, "The social part of this game definitely wears on me. It's not normal for me to be around people that are sneaky, that will lie to you. It's not normal for me to listen to conversations about nothing all day. It's not normal for me to have to contain what I really want to say and think really hard before I speak. It's a challenge, but it's a $1 million challenge." So she knew coming into the game that she would have to change the way she dealt with people. But she also said in interviews that when she was in the game, she did revert back to her true self, even though she didn't want to. She was 100% forthright about how she thought and felt, and she was trying to help the team instead of herself, which is what we saw in all those challenges where she was just taking the lead and beasting it. So there are two aspects to Michaela being Michaela, and we heard both in the statements that I just gave you. There's the part where she's not used to being with people who lie to you, but you still have to interact with them on a regular basis. And there's the part about being honest. So in reverse order, we mostly address the second part already in discussing how being honest hurts strategizing.
To me, I think that the best Survivor players are chameleons, and they're people, when you talk about Boston Rob and Kim Spradlin and Parvati, that if in different circumstances, they can sort of put on different faces and sort of be an older sister or the younger sister or a daughter or of somebody that they can play whatever they sense that you need. They can be that person to you. And I don't think that that's something that Michaela has, good or bad, where, you know, Michaela is Michaela, and that's something that maybe people trust her because of that. I think that she's unable to give back to a person what they might be needing in a ally that's out there.
Well, before I get to that, I want to see the time when Boston Rob takes on the role of the older sister.
Well, look, I'm trying to stay, mix gender neutral stuff together here, David. Just follow along if you can keep up, okay?
But anyway, I know what you're saying. And I agree with you mostly. In her day after video, she said that on Survivor, she knows you can't show all your cards and express everything. You're better off if you hide it. And she didn't say playing the chameleon like you did, but that's clearly what she was going for there. I would say, though, when it came to her social play, she did hide her thoughts when it counted. And again, we go back to when it looked like she was going to rip Figgy in two and instead she voted with her. She said, "I have to do less things to make myself stick out, and I have to play to the majority and blend in with the group," which is not what she does in her regular life. She was going completely against her nature. So again, she knew she had to do that, and she was doing it somewhat. If she had truly been playing a bad social game, I would say Jay would have had no reason to target her this early because he would have known everyone would want her gone later. And also, talking about the big sister role, I do want to note that Michaela kind of did take on that role with Hannah. And this was one reason that the majority couldn't tell Hannah what was happening with this vote. So despite what we saw at the challenge with Michaela yelling at her, which was kind of like a big sister, that was just, as Hannah called it in a web confessional at the time, sports talk. They got along.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Hannah was receptive to that for whatever reason, but I would not really give Michaela the credit for saying, okay, this is exactly how I need to be. Like, for all she knew, Hannah could have completely gone into a shell after she talked to her like that at the challenge. Like, I give Hannah credit for being able to roll with it, but I don't think that Michaela had, that was a calculated decision. That was Michaela doing or talking in that moment, how she would talk to anybody else who was on the other side of the table. I don't think that she tailored her message at all to Hannah.
No, definitely not. But she also knew she had a good relationship with Hannah. You know, back at camp, they got along well. And what Michaela was saying was she likes unique people. And Lord knows Hannah seems to be a unique person, and people who are underdogs and getting pushed down, which was how she saw Hannah. She wanted to raise her up. She was trying to help her out. And, you know, I don't know that it was so much a social gameplay as it was taking on that role of big sister. Now, I only have brothers, I only have sons, but I'm guessing that big sisters will sometimes yell at you and sometimes raise you up.
But I would look at that as she's a leader, but she's not catering a message. So if her leadership style works for you, then great. But I think that where we're going to run into problems are the people that their leadership style does not necessarily mesh with other people. And we call other players out for having this, and it's sort of like an Andrew Savage or a Brad Culpepper, where, you know, if they have people around them that that leadership style works for, it's great. But then when that doesn't mesh well with other people, we really get on them for that.
Yeah, I just don't know that this was her style outside of the challenge. And you're right. If there had been other people in that challenge, they certainly would not have taken well to being yelled at like that. You know, but around the rest of the camp, it doesn't seem to be the way she was.
It would be interesting to see what would have happened if we would have had Michaela and Ken get into a sort of situation where they had to work together. Because we've been on Ken this season at times also, that he wants the message catered to him a specific way. And here we have Michaela who's saying that, or at least I'm saying that, I don't think that one of her skills in this game is the ability to provide a unique frequency to whatever person she's dealing with. And I think that that would have been funny to see them sort of butt heads over this potentially.
Yeah, I could just see her yelling at him, hold the table, don't move the table. You didn't say please.
Right, right. So I think that that would have been fun. And, you know, it's not a deal breaker for Michaela. I still like her very much as a player, but I think that that's an important thing when we're talking about her game.
It is an important thing. I just don't think that it played into the eventual reasons that she was voted out.
All right. Well, we'll disagree about that, David. So rule number six, don't be too much of a threat. I think there's some meat here also.
Yeah. Yeah. We might be onto something here. You know, Michaela said on the show itself that she didn't want to appear to be too much of a threat. And then she had a web confessional titled, I am a threat. You know, she said it made her nervous when Jeff Probst pointed out how well she did. She didn't want to put the label on herself as the one to beat. She didn't want to be seen as a threat, even though she was one. And problem is, I would say she didn't manage to avoid it very well at all. Even those who weren't on her tribe saw her as a threat. Chris, watching from the other tribe, felt like Michaela was seen as the number one threat. Now, he wanted her to stick around because of that in order to shield him, but he still saw her as a threat. Back in Figgy's post-game interviews last week, she said that she thought Michaela was one of the two biggest threats at the time. Of course, those thoughts didn't matter because, well, they weren't in her tribe at the time. Rather, it was really Jay who mattered since, well, Will seemed willing to go along with whatever Jay wanted, and Jay wanted to get rid of Michaela. He said in a web confessional that even though he trusted Michaela more than Brett or Sunday, he felt he needed to get rid of her. And then, as if he was talking directly to Steven, he said, this isn't even a move that I'm making because I'm bored. So, right. So I don't know. Maybe he'd listened to Steven before. No, I'm not bored. I'm doing this for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, you know, you have to bring up the question, what was the reason? Well, Jay said he's scared of Michaela because she's smart, good at challenges, and wears her emotions on her face. So if she doesn't like someone, she's going to show everyone, and everyone else will know that there's an alliance and how the alliance is voting. he wanted sneaky good people who could stay under the radar without giving too much away.
And I thought she had a great rebuttal to that in the exit interview, talking about his alliance, which she did not think too much of in the Triforce, which did not do a good job of being sneaky under the radar people in that Millennials tribe.
They didn't. But on the other hand, well, I have no other hand, actually. Just, you know, no, she's right about that. They didn't either, but maybe he was looking more at going forward, because remember, he had even made comments about he was playing this game with people who didn't know they were in a game. So he may not have very high opinions of Taylor, for example, or maybe even Michelle, but maybe he just needs to use them, because even if people know they're allies, they won't show their disgust at someone else on, you know, who's going to be a target, where she would.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking to Nick on the recap podcast, you were discussing how he doesn't show emotion.
Yeah.
And he said he doesn't do it because it's information. Now, the two of you weren't even talking about Michaela at the moment, but it struck me that what he said goes along perfectly with what Jay told us in that web confessional, even though the two of you hadn't even seen it yet when you recorded that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that all came together very nicely. So good pick on your part for getting Nick there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that he was saying that that he doesn't like people who give up a lot of information, or he doesn't like to put out a lot of emotion because that's information. And Jay, that was one of his criticisms of Michaela, in that she is so expressive that you always know what she's thinking, correct?
Right. So I guess, you know, if Jay and Nick ever end up on an All-Star season together, they are a match made in heaven.
Yes. Well, that he could have been that he was an alternate for Ko Rong. So if only it could have worked out that way, they could have been the Kyle Jason and Scott Pollard of Ko Rong. All right. Anything else on Don't Be Too Much of a Threat?
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yes. So anyway, Jay continued in his web confessional by saying that it sucks that Michaela is such a huge threat, but he doesn't want to play the game with someone who scares him. And Michaela said in her interview with Josh that as she looked Jay in the eyes, she saw his reasoning as her being a threat. So he needed to vote her out at this point because it would get harder to do the longer he let her stay in the game. Now, that's a lot to get out of looking someone in the eye, but I still think she has a fair point. By doing it now, Jay literally only had to convince one person, Will. I am quite sure that Brett and Sunday were all too willing to go along with anything that didn't end up with one of them being voted out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if Jay had waited, he would have had to work with all sorts of other people at the merge. And that was a risk.
And if I could add one other point in Jay's favor, if you know in your heart of hearts you're working with Michaela and you are going to win the game, a big part of what you have to do is that you're going to have to screw over Michaela. I'll give him some points for doing it here when she's not going to be on the jury. Could you imagine that Jay goes through this game and then he burns Michaela at Final Four, Final Five, and then has to stand in front of that jury? Now, in fairness, she did not destroy him in her exit press by any stretch of the, and she actually was extremely classy in how she handled everything. But you saw how mad she was when she left Tribal Council. I have to feel like that she would really give it to him at the final Tribal Council. No?
Yeah, I agree. And as a matter of fact, you kind of jumped ahead to my Appendix B because, well, we might as well discuss it now and then we'll finish up Rule 6. But we, finally have something to talk about when it comes to Appendix B because, like you said, Jay specifically indicated in his web confessional that he was thinking ahead to the jury. And he felt the same way you did, that Michaela would not vote for him if she were in the jury. So, get her out now. That is good thinking ahead on his part.
And even if she might have, and again, the way that she handled the exit interview was extremely classy. And when we asked her about, well, why didn't you blow up the thing about the idol? She says, well, I kind of feel like when the game's over and I'm going to be a good sport about it. So maybe she would not have been that way at all in the final Tribal Council, but at least that was the perception that Jay had. That was the thought that I probably would have had if I was out there. So I think that if that is is a part of her personality that she is giving off to people, I do think that we have to lay that responsibility on her if it's something that people are picking up. I think that this is an important thing that we have to always think of with Survivor. And in real life, if people are misinterpreting you, that's on you, not on the receiver of the message.
Right. And remember what she said. She said the game was over, so the game was over. If she's on that jury, that game isn't over till she casts her vote.
Mm-hmm.
So she might well have held it against him. I mean, it's different than blowing up his whole game by revealing that he had an idol. But if she were on the jury, she could easily still hold it against him and not vote for him, because that's still part of the game. Whether it's vindictive or not, it's still within the game.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of thinking ahead, I do think there could be another reason Jay saw Michaela as a threat. Now, this is speculating a little bit here. But in her interview with Josh, she talked about how she had had many conversations with Jay, and they talked about how neither of their families came from money, so the $1 million would be so much of a help to both of them. Now, I'm looking at this and saying, well, if two people have similar stories like that, I don't think you want to be together at the end. Whatever mileage he might be able to use out of having a poorer family, he certainly didn't want Michaela stealing some of that thunder. So I think back to when I was still writing columns about why American Idol contestants lost.
Mm-hmm.
One of the rules was that to make sure you were different from all the other singers so you wouldn't have an overlapping fan base and split the vote.
Mm-hmm.
If you think back, one of the most famous early boots from an American Idol season was Jennifer Hudson. And that was one of the main reasons that she lost early on. There have also been similar discussions about other shows. So, for example, right now we have BBOTT. We have the sisters there.
Yes.
Okay. And there have been discussions about neither Alex nor Morgan should want to go to the end with each other, because they'll possibly split the vote and allow whoever else is with them at the final three to win. So these are the situations that you can find yourself in if you're too similar. And the same can be true here as well. If one of the things you plan to talk about at the end is your family needing the money, you don't want to be with someone else who has a very similar story. So, like I said, that part was speculative. You know, maybe Jay was thinking ahead that far. Maybe he wasn't. But in any case, Michaela said in her mind that if she had brought that final four alliance to, well, the final four, it would have guaranteed her a $1 million win. I don't know that Jay would agree with her on that point, but if she believed it, and like you said, she put out the feeling of confidence and he saw that in her, that would be another reason for him to consider her a threat. On top of all of this, I'll close out this rule on the topic of a tweet you had mentioned on the voicemail podcast, where Michaela talked about her various good qualities. Now, along with that, she posted a short video on Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, one of the things she said was, what we learned today, people fear greatness. Yes, they do. But when it comes to Survivor, we didn't learn it on Wednesday. We learned it a long time ago.
Yeah, that's right. David, I'm just still blown away that you managed to bring BBOTT in this. I had no idea that you were following all of it.
Well, I'm following the live feed crew, live feed correspondents, LFC.
Yes, the LFC. David, I hope that you are not planning on a series of blogs of why the So You Think You Can podcast applicants lost. I think that would be too much.
You mean I have to scrap the work I've already done on that?
Like you did with the American Idol contestants.
That's right.
So rule number 7, and I saw some buzz in the patron group of how you're going to handle this one. Vote out the weak, vote out the strong, vote out the weak, vote out the strong. David, is this according to plan? Are we on schedule now?
Well, it's an interesting point in the game. It's at a what I would call a changing point in the game, because several of the Ikebula players talked about how awesome Michaela had done in the challenges. As a matter of fact, there were a whole bunch of the web confessionals about that. So there was no doubt they considered her to be one of the strong. But you only want to keep the strong around if you're going to be staying in the tribal format. This seems like an early merge to me, but a number of the players already seem to expect it. So if they truly believe it's coming, whether it's right away or one vote from now or whatever, then there's really no reason to keep a strong competitor around to help them win challenges. And it is the right time to start voting out the strong, which is what they did.
David, let's talk about the other appendix that we haven't gotten to. Do whatever it takes to get idols. Now, Michaela did sneak up on Jay when he was getting his idol. Does that count?
Well, not really. It's not clear to me what she was doing out there, too. Was she out there searching herself, or did she just stumble onto them?
Maybe she missed them.
Yeah. Oh, where are you, Jay and Will? I need you.
Yeah, I'm bored. What are you guys doing?
It's no wonder she liked Hannah so much. Hey, how's it going over there?
Yeah, she pulled the Hannah move.
Yeah. But, you know, by doing this, she had information that no one else other, obviously, than Jay and Will had. I just don't know what she could have reasonably done with that information, because she didn't see this coming. And as a matter of fact, her knowing was another good reason for Jay to target her, because if they made it to the merge, Michaela having that information could end up being dangerous.
David, are you satisfied with this investigation into why Michaela lost this week?
I am satisfied. You know, Michaela had some good ideas, but it was a little difficult for her to put them into practice sometimes. She knew she had to strategize, but she wanted to be honest and straightforward. She had what she thought was a plan that would work, but she didn't take into account the fact that other people had other plans. She wanted to avoid being a threat, but clearly that wasn't happening. In the end, it was the last two issues that spelled doom for Michaela in the game. She was likable. She was trustworthy. And those were things that Jay had to overcome to vote against her. But in a game for $1 million, credit him for being able to put those things aside to make what he thought was the right game move. Because on the other side of the coin, Michaela was a huge threat to his game in many ways. She wanted to form an alliance that excluded his other allies. She wanted to go to the end where he was worried that he could lose to her. Or worse, she might have given away too much information and allowed opponents to make counter moves to prevent them from even getting to the end. Michaela was right to look ahead, but not to share all of the plans and moves she'd already made. She failed to keep her scheming secret because she never really tried, and she stuck out like a huge threat to everyone, but especially to Jay for his endgame. Jay struck while the iron was hot, and he really only needed one person to go along with him. And that is why Michaela lost.
You know, David, we've talked about so much about why Jay ultimately made this move, but we haven't gotten your take on it at all. Did you think that it was a good move for Jay, or do you feel like that it was a very hasty move?
Can I pull an Eliza and say we'll see what happens?
No.
Oh, man. It really is hard for me to say. You know, like I said at the beginning, it seems early for this. But on the other hand, maybe it's not too early. I mean, it gets her out before the merge. It shows his other allies, Taylor and Michelle, that, hey, I'm willing to cut this person and go back together with you. The problem is, I think he has a higher opinion of where his alliance is going to land him, you know, which we'll discuss somewhat in the predictions. But I just don't think it's going to get him where he believed it would. So I guess with that in mind, probably too soon. It would have been better to stick with Michaela, cut Brett or Sunday, you know, just pretend to have this foursome, bring in the others, because just because it was a final four doesn't mean you can't have anyone else. I mean, you need other people early on. And then after they bring in the rest, they get rid of, you know, whoever else is out there, or at least they try to. I think it would have been a lot more difficult than he believed. Then you determine, okay, now we have to get rid of her. But he saw what a huge threat she was and said, well, now is when I can make my move. You know, Will is standing here ready to do what I ask him to do. Brett and Sunday are right there willing to do anything that doesn't involve writing their names down. So I do it now and I'm done. No muss, no fuss, and don't have to worry about her on the jury.
I think it's too early in a first-timer, non-all-star season to be voting out somebody that you have a working relationship with, to keep around people that you can't feel they're going to have a lot of loyalty to you after the merge. I think that's really what it comes down to. I think it's sort of like the aggressive play that you would see in an endgame or in an all-star season, but I think it's too early here in this particular season, but we'll see how it plays out. And our very exciting merge is going to get underway this Wednesday night, David. So why don't we at least attempt to have some sort of a prediction for what could happen? And again, this is going to be so crazy because we have three tribes coming together as one. Usually in this spot, we've had the opportunity to see how these tribes are going to start to mesh together as they go down to two tribes. But we started in two, went up to three, and now we have no idea how this is going to come out in our first merge vote on Wednesday.
Well, and even more so than that, it occurred to me shortly after the episode aired, all three swap tribes have gone to tribal council, and every time there was a majority from an original tribe, they turned on their own instead of using that majority.
Yes.
So when they come back together, it's clearly not going to be everything split down original tribe or even swap tribe lines. So what you have are just a multitude of permutations of alliances. It's so bad trying to figure them all out. It just gives you a headache. So I'm going to try to go through this quickly here. Follow along. So you got David and Zeke are allies thanks to David showing him the idol. Zeke and Chris are allies due to the Oklahoma Sooners connection. David and Chris could be allies, but that's kind of unclear. Jessica and Ken, definitely allies. David should fit into that group as well. And Jessica and Ken are also allies with either Adam or Taylor, depending on who you believe and when they said what they said. Adam is an ally of Zeke and probably Hannah. Michelle is mad at Adam for turning on the millennials, despite the fact that the Core Alliance turned on him first. Taylor is with Michelle and Jay, and now apparently Will. I don't think Brett and Sunday are allies of theirs, but rather that was just a one-time vote to keep themselves safe. So Brett and Sunday will probably gravitate back to Chris and whatever allies he has. Did you get all that?
I'm with you.
With this whole web in place, it seems to me that there are four people who are mostly left out in the cold. Michelle, Jay, Taylor, and Will.
Yeah.
You know, with the merge arriving, I just don't think Michelle or Will is going to be considered enough of a threat to target. So yeah, to me, that comes down to Jay or Taylor. I could see Jay as a potential target. I just feel like he's going to make it a little longer. So I'm going to double down on my prediction from last week and say Taylor will get the boot and we'll be able to join Figgy on the pre-jury trip.
I am going to, I know you don't like this, but I feel like that Taylor's been my guy all week long in terms of, I feel like that he has merge boot written all over him. I feel like the only way that he potentially dodges this merge boot bullet might be if he wins the first individual immunity challenge. I mean, this is like what we talked about with Nick Majorano heading into last season's merge, where, boy, he looks like the merge boot. And we actually did a lot of podcasting about, is there even such a thing as the merge boot? He ends up winning individual immunity that first time and then goes out at the actual tribal council that they have after Neil gets medevaced from the game. So I feel like that I would say Taylor also. I think it might be interesting to think about just as a thought exercise. If he did win immunity, who do you think it would be? You think it would be Jay?
Yeah, I do.
I wonder potentially, yeah, if Hannah is going to have the working relationship. I think it could be Michelle.
It could be. It could be. I just don't see Michelle as being that much of a threat to anyone at this point. I think she survived the time when she was in the most danger.
You don't think that Zeke and Adam are going to, you know, at least tell some tales of what was going on and she's really the brains behind the Triforce operation? I mean, the people that were not there, like Hannah might say, oh no, it was Jay who was the person that got Michaela out of the game. But I think that for Zeke and Adam, if they end up having a lot of pull with that new millennials who are on the outs plus Gen X Alliance, I feel like that Michelle could be a good target for them if Taylor wins the first immunity.
Yeah, but even Zeke and Adam, you know, at one point before that Mari vote, and I know that was a long time ago for them, but they were talking to Jay and Jay seemed on board with them. So they might put the blame more on Jay, even dating back to that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like that they would feel like that maybe they had a working relationship with Jay, where I feel like that Michelle might be the person who she seems on the outs based on some of the secret scenes that we saw from this past week. And I feel like that they might think of her as more of a threat.
That's possible. They could target the Dragon Queen.
Yeah, it's possible. All right, David. Well, good stuff. Do you have a hashtag this week?
Well, I think we will maybe go to Michaela herself and hashtag fear greatness.
Fear greatness. Okay. Boy, I was would have bet the house that you were going to go with some sort of a Cubs tweet.
Well, those have all been taken. I mean, what are you going to do? Fly the W, go Cubs, go. You know, that's that won't stand out very much. Now, if anybody wants to tweet at me, go Cubs, go, or fly the W, I will give them a thumbs up for that. But
yeah. Could you fly the M for Michaela? Yeah.
If you fly the flag upside down, I guess so.
Yeah. Okay. So turn that Cubs W upside down for Michaela this week and put the flag at half mast as Michaela is out of the game. Speaking of masks, AJ Mass joined me to talk about the 13 archetypes of Survivor, David. That episode should be up on the website by the time you guys are listening to this.
Ah, I'm looking forward to having listened to it by the time this is out. It's that weird thing where you record before it's posted. Yes.
Yes. Check that out with ESPN's AJ Mass, of course. If you have enough time before the episode and you haven't checked out my interviews with Nick Majorana or Cass, definitely those were very fun to talk about. Of course, on the website, plenty of Survivor reading for you to get into. Our blog team has been hard at work. On Friday, Scott Gallagher compared this season of Survivor to a few different movies. On Saturday, Michael measures the players on the truth spectrum and looks at their chances going into the merge. On Monday, Catherine is going to take a look back at Survivor history and is going to revisit Corinne's ouster from Karamoan. And then at the end of the week, Christine is looking at what the casual Survivor fans are saying and wonders if Jeff, inspired by Taylor, will pitch an electoral system to ensure certain players win. That's good.
Well, I guess now would be the week to talk about the Electoral College.
Hey, David, if the millennials are going to get rid of the Electoral College, I'm worried that they might get rid of the Survivor jury next.
Well, that would be ridiculous to have a reality show with no jury. I mean, what would you do? Just have the people watching vote or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what Russell Hance has been proposing for some time.
So you're saying CBS stole the idea for BBOTT from Russell Hance?
I think so. I think that's that there had never been any Big Brother format where people who were watching the show voted. They stole it from Russell Hance.
And apparently, from what I understand, Chrissy has stolen the behavior from Russell Hance.
Oh, no. Stop. Don't take her there, David. Okay. All right. So David is going to be hearing from the late night Jamboree fans now after that. You don't even know. You want to dabble in the BBOTT. You don't even know what you're getting yourself into.
Oh, I know. I've seen Alex's tweets and, more importantly, the tweets back at Alex.
Okay. All right. Well, good stuff. Looking forward to Survivor Know-It-Alls this week. Josh Wigler stepping in for Stephen Fishback and then Kelly Wentworth on the recap. And then Jeopardy champion Alex Jacob will join me on the voicemail. So it should be a fun week of podcasting. So make sure you subscribe. Rob is at website.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.